the power of this organization and the power of our movement was in the fact that there was only 200 or 300 of us, you know, scattered out through Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama. But if one of our people got hurt, the rule was everybody had to come. And so if you put one of us in jail, then two come. And then you put two in jail, four people come. And then four, and eventually we're going to fill up the jailhouse and nothing else. And and if we get some local people to go with us, that makes it even better. And I think, you know, I talk to young people about this all the time. They say, well, you know, you all were just in jail. Yeah, but that's just part of it. Because what happens is that, well, we're in jail in some little town. These people don't even know us. They find out there's some civil rights workers in jail. We know everything. First of all, black people know everything. We know everything. We work, we do all the cooking and the cleaning and the dishwashing, and we cut all the hair and mow the yard. We know every damn thing. We take out the trash. We know everything. So they put these civil rights workers in jail before night. Everybody in town knows. They got some civil rights workers in jail. So then what are they in jail for? Well, they were in jail because they went to register to vote. Where were they? They were in Albany, Georgia, but they brought them over here to this little town. Well, maybe we ought to go register ourselves. We can't vote here either. Now you got the elements of a movement starting in your hometown that wasn't even there before that guy in the next door asked you to put some civil rights to work, hold your, some of that civil rights workers in jail. So you got a whole new organizing thing going on here now where people are thinking to themselves, you know what, it's about time for them to cut this nonsense out here too. Why don't we go out here and see if we can do something to make these people do change that what they're doing? So, and especially young people, you know, high school kids and college kids are saying, you know what, if the college kids at Morehouse are doing this, why aren't we doing this at Albany State? Yeah. Why aren't we doing this at Savannah State, at Jackson State? So we're as good as they are, and we got to live in the same world they live in. If they are getting a better education, they can't get a job. Why do you think we're going to get one when we get out? So we all got to go out here and try to make something happen. And so it becomes a mass movement. And the good thing about nonviolence is that everybody can participate in nonviolence. If you decide you want to form a crack military unit, only certain people are going to qualify for that. Only 1% of your population are going to qualify for that. Most people aren't going to ever learn how to shoot that well or run that fast or whatever. But with a nonviolent demonstration in it, you can march in a wheelchair. Or if it, with a boycott, all you got to do is say, I'm not going downtown. It doesn't take any effort. Everybody can participate in that. So once you get the people organized around something, like we're going to boycott these buses, or we're going to boycott this restaurant, or we're going to boycott this department store, if they were depending on us for any business, we got a real good advantage over them. And especially if you get half the employees who work there to start, if they don't come to work, if they do, maybe they don't work so hard, or maybe they put up a little sabotage for you. All kind of stuff be going on, man. We be running the joint for a little while.